Welcome to the Data Center Hawk podcast. I'm Mike Netzer, joined as always by Data Center Hawk founder David Liggett. We have a very fun and exciting and new podcast today. Are you excited?
Right. I'm ready. I'm excited.
You look extremely excited.
I'm pumped. I think the story for Dallas is massive change over the last 3 years. Vacancy rate goes from, you know, high to low. It's a lot harder to deliver supply, so there's not a lot of new supply coming to the market right now because it's harder. A number of the developers that are data center operators historically that have served enterprise users are now solely focused on the hyperscale users. That's their business model. So there's less 2 megawatt, 4 megawatt locations for those groups to land. So we're seeing the pricing, you know, increase here, and we're seeing the geography change.
You're listening to the Data Center Hawk podcast, where we demystify the data center market. Data Center Hawk is your online platform for data and commentary on the data center market. Stay tuned and be sure to join the thousands of others who rely on Data Center Hawk to make decisions in the data center space.
Before we get started, we are Data Center Hawk. Our mission is to help you make better decisions in the data center space. And we do that through our subscribable platform. You can go to datacenterhawk.com for more information. We'd love to connect with you if you want to hit us up there. Okay, so today...
This is thick.
Uh-huh. Today, very special one. We're talking about the history of the Dallas data center market.
Yeah.
Of which you are, I would say, an integral part. A player,
well, I don't know.
I've
been here.
You've been here for a while.
We're still out here.
It is fun to watch how these markets have evolved over time.
Yeah, sure.
And we could probably do this for a number of different markets. All have some nuance and idiosyncrasies that make them interesting.
Yeah.
So let's start at the very beginning. You know, as most people know, the data center industry as a whole was really born out of, like, the telco industry.
Yep.
And so talk about how that happened in Dallas. What were some of the key moments in that timeline?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'd say before even focusing on Dallas, but if you want to find where a data center market began, like geographically began, you should look to, like, the Carrier Hotel. Because that's historically where all of these markets, like, evolved out of. And so I think most people know in Dallas, that building is the Infomart, which is on Stemmons Freeway, downtown Dallas. There's another building in, you know, another couple of buildings in Dallas that are, like, very highly connected. 2323 Bryan is another one of those. But I think most people would point to the Infomart as Dallas's Carrier Hotel.
It's a great name, by the way, the Infomart. You know exactly what's going on there.
That's
information.
Right. That's
Mart.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of funny because this building actually was built by Trammell Crowe, who's obviously a worldwide developer, but very well known in Dallas. Trammell Crowe is a real estate company that ended up being acquired by CBRE in, I think, 2007. But this was built in the mid-80s. And I think one of the things that it's important to realize is, like, this is when, you know, office construction was in its heyday, and especially in Dallas. And then the late 80s, banks called the notes on a lot of these properties. And so the real estate market got extremely challenging. But I think what is interesting about the Infomart, the reason it's called that, it is built right next to, kind of right next to the Design District in Dallas. And so there's a World Trade Center of Dallas that's right next to this building. So the idea was that this building would be a place that technology companies could basically have office space. And over time, it evolved to serve those technology companies' needs, which, you know, ended up being more telecom than anything. But there's a data center component to that. So when you have all that, you have the power that was there, the connectivity that grows and grows and grows over time. You just can't replicate that. It's like one of a kind. And there's other, if you look around, we're just looking at U.S. markets, but, you know, if you think about Chicago, you know, if you're in the data center space, you know, 350 East Cermak is the Carrier Hotel downtown there. If you look in Northern Virginia, it's Equinix's DC2 facility that, like, everything is built around, and it, like, kind of grows out from there. So so network was important a long time ago. It's become more important over time. And so, you know, in summary, if you want to see where these markets start, you can look to find that Carrier Hotel, and then the growth comes from that.
Yeah, and interestingly, like, these facilities generally didn't set out to become a data center, but they became it over time. And then by the time anybody really realized what was happening, you know, it's not that you would want to move it, but it's too late.
Yes.
They're so highly connected. Yeah. These facilities are super ingrained.
Yeah, and you actually bring up like a really interesting part of our industry, which is, you know, as in you say Dallas for sure, but like as these markets grew, the real estate assets were basically office buildings that had been converted to house the needs of data center, you know, providers or users themselves. And over time that changed. It just shows the evolution of the business. You know, at some point this changed from like a, hey, we're just gonna find facilities that we can retrofit and make into these, you know, data centers to like a business. Then the industrialization of the data center space came in. They started making the same thing in the same market or in different markets. And so we saw that in Dallas too. But that's how it began. And, you know, it began, you know, in downtown Dallas.
Yeah. So then kind of fast forward to late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
You know, what was the state of the market like from a sizing standpoint, or what were the main kind of concepts at that time?
Most of the groups that were like growing were telecom companies or companies that were, you know, in like the .com boom. And so that, so then the world, I would say, woke up to data centers to a degree and started building facilities.
Co-location facilities.
Yeah, co-location facilities to handle what they believed the growth would be. And so the market to an extent became overbuilt, but in Dallas specifically, the growth began happening to the north, and that represents how, you know, if you build something downtown. I mean, most downtown areas are like heavily populated with not just people but facilities. It's just hard to put the land together that you need to build what you would want to build, and so we saw basically in Dallas a move to the north. So areas like Richardson, Plano, far north Dallas, Carrollton, even over in Fort Worth, you saw data center users and providers starting to look and go, hey, these could be areas that we would want to build, you know, facilities in. I would say that after the dot-com bust, a number of assets came back to the market, you know, companies that folded and had 10, 15 data center facilities they had spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars building. Now these are getting bought for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and repurposed to serve kind of a more mature data center user as the market was growing. And so that's where we saw the market. The other thing I would say is, you know, the data center development, I mean, you're spending so much money to build these facilities. You know, we say all the time, if you're in the commercial real estate business, you think of like an office asset costing X. You know, data center traditionally it would be 10 times more than that when you factor in all these things. So it's a big risk. You're taking all this money and you're placing it somewhere in a facility and you're housing other people's infrastructure and you have service level agreements with that. Big risk. So you have to figure out how to de-risk, you know, that facility, that location to the best you can. And I wouldn't say that really started happening until, you know, like the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like data centers around airports, data centers around, you know, certain locations that just happened because it worked. The market wasn't mature enough yet at certain points to go, hey, we should be within X amount of miles from this, or we need to be closer to this because it helps our application work better. So that was kind of some of the stuff that was going on then.
Yeah, so in the mid-2000s, like the main co-location provider in Dallas was Digital Realty.
Yeah.
And there really wasn't much competition for them until 2008.
Yeah, and actually, and I would say with Digital, I mean, one of the really interesting things about that company is that it, you know, started out of GI Partners. And that is a really good look at how the industry grew, because they were basically buying a lot of these dot-com bust assets, you know, that were on the market. They were buying them. I mean, it's a good real estate investor, right? You figure out when you can buy low and sell high. And they found assets that were there. I think over time, they realized the value of these assets. They were talking to end users that said, like, hey, we need this. Now, one of the things I would say is during this time period that you mentioned in Dallas, most companies wanted to own their own data center facilities. Mm-hmm. So they would either have an office building and like build a floor or a closet or something within that facility, or they would go and build the building themselves. So they would do it as a company. They'd spend all their money into that and not on their business. And so Digital and some other groups figured out, like, hey, there's a leasing opportunity here. You know, we can provide the infrastructure. We can provide a really good product. We can build it really well and make sure that it runs properly. And if we can do that, we can convince some of these financial companies, technology companies, insurance companies to actually, like, lease the facilities. And so, you know, at that time in Dallas, Digital was really the, I would say, the most mature data center operator here. You know, it's a mid-2000s to kind of late 2000s, CyrusOne planted a kind of their flag in Louisville and began growing. You had some other retail colocation providers here. You know, Equinix has always been here down at the Infomart. And so there were starting to – you were starting to see the maturity of this market beginning. I was a very young David Liggett at the time.
Very young David Liggett. Do we, you know, I think Rhett can throw up a picture there.
Please don't. Please don't. But it was like, you know, I don't know if I always tell people it's pretty unique to have like a front row seat of the maturity of an industry. And you don't really realize that until like years later.
Yeah, there's few, if any, industries like data centers that you can see over the last 20 years
yes.
change the way they have.
Especially in the real estate business. You know, and I always talk about, like, you know, the trends of, like, the office market and the industrial market and the retail market, the multifamily market, like, and not to offend anybody, but they haven't changed significantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now the way that people are using office space and stuff like that have, but it's like people, you know,
the design has changed, but the fundamentals of people in a property.
Yeah, and we have seen massive shifts. I mean, gee whiz, in the last 5 years, let alone, you know, 20 or 15 in the data center space. So I guess, you know, what I would say is it's fascinating. I mean, Digital Realty, you know, became a public company in 2004.
Yeah.
You know, Equinix, you know, shortly thereafter. So you think about these massive companies now that are publicly traded, and there's private companies that are, you know, similarly sized that are very competitive that – you know, it was happening right then. And so, and not just in Dallas, but Chicago, Northern Virginia, Phoenix, Silicon Valley, you know, all these areas have stories somewhat similar, but on the micro level different as to how the markets grow. So, you know, now you think mid-2000s, you've got the Infomart in downtown. You have things starting up in the Richardson area. Plano is starting to see some facilities that are being retrofits converted into data centers. And there's some stuff going on in Carrollton.
Who are some of the players at that time?
Yeah, so
you mentioned Digital being here, kind
Digital
of first.
Equinix, you know, CyrusOne. You know, Stream Data Centers has been a Dallas data center operator that has been very active and competitive over, you know, a long period of time. T5 Data Centers had, you know, location that was kind of starting in Plano like the late 2000s. You know, there were some other like smaller retail groups. DataBank was a group that had, you know, been here a long time. So that was happening, and the demand was fed by like companies in Dallas that had headquarters here that wanted to be close to the infrastructure, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would say in the late 2000s, we saw a massive shift in the industry. So when the Great Recession, I think that's what we call it.
2008-09.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that happened, all these companies that historically had all this money and want to spend it on their own data center are looking, going like, we don't have the capital.
Yeah, we got to cut
this.
Costs.
Yeah,
and what is it? CapEx to OpEx.
Yes,
shift.
Yes, and that fueled, in my opinion, that changed the game. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you've got banks that historically had said like, we can never release the control of our data centers to them, saying like, okay, we will put two pods or two. And this was, you know, when the data hall or the pod or the you know, that concept started to emerge and take one building, so a physical, just for simplicity, 100,000 square foot building, and the data center operator would say, hey, we're going to divide this into six different data halls, and each one, although it's in the same building shell, the mechanical and electrical operations run completely autonomous from one another. That changed the game. That and the capital issue, now you've got kind of fuel to the fire to really grow the data center space, and off we went.
Yeah, so fast forward to 2015. Now there's about 15 or so colo providers in Dallas. It's about a 240 megawatt market.
Yeah.
So talk about, and you were in the thick of it. That was really when Data Center Rock was founded.
That's right.
Right around that time.
Yep.
And so again, you were in the thick of it. Talk about kind of who were the main players there? Who were the main customers?
Yep.
You know, I think it'd be always, you've brought this up many times, about the, what were the lease rates around then? And then geographically, where was the development happening?
Yeah, I would say, you know, lease rates in like the late, is it the aughts? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, I call it the late 2000s. That's the term I use.
Sure.
The aughts is kind of, it's a weird word. It's a weird word.
Well, I agree. Anyway, the late 2000s, I mean, the rates in Dallas were like in the 170s to 190, like per kW per month plus electric.
Yeah, and you're that's for on, like a wholesale deal.
Yeah, it's like a larger
And that's basically
deal.
What Dallas was yes. a wholesale market.
Yeah, so what,
or wholesale
what,
retail.
Yeah, so what's happening is, as Dallas is being looked at as a more competitive market, companies are trying to go, hey, we can put our infrastructure here. Like one of Dallas's greatest strengths is his greatest weakness, which is this is a very like business friendly market. From a development perspective, we have some of the best, you know, I would say like construction companies, you know, subs that are serving those construction companies and the owners of these buildings, just development companies alone. The Dallas is, I mean, in a significantly like higher position than a lot of other cities. So, and I would say too, there was like a number of key data center leaders and executives that live in Dallas, mm-hmm. and that made a big difference. So when you kind of boil that all together, the market became very competitive, and it was a lot easier to develop here than it is in, you know, somewhere like Northern California or other places where you might face challenges with, you know, regulatory issues or stuff like that. So, so those same players are there, but now you're starting to get other groups that had never been in Dallas before coming into the market. So one of the things that's interesting too, when you look at market growth is when a data center operator enters a market for the first time, that's a really big deal, because a lot of the growth in our space comes from existing customers wanting to grow their footprint in the same market. And so when somebody comes in brand new, you know, that's them kind of planting the flag that, hey, we're going to be here, we're going to invest. And these, and I think people know this hopefully, but these are like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars mm-hmm. in investment.
Nine figs.
Yeah, it's not like a, you know, we're going to build this one building and leave. So the types of companies that were here were you know, the banks, I would say like insurance companies have, you know, strong footprints here. There's technology companies, there's smaller cloud providers, which brings up my next point, which is Dallas historically has never been viewed as a hyperscale market. So I would say in 2014 across the country, we started to see like bigger requirements, mm-hmm. companies that were going like, hey, you know, in the past we've done these 2 megawatt requirements in multiple places that could grow to 6 megawatts. We've done 4 megawatts that grow to 8. All of a sudden we started seeing like, hey, there's a 10 meg deal growing to 16. Or there's a 16 megawatt deal with a write on another 16 megawatts. Or someone just did a 32 megawatt requirement and someone, it was not happening in Dallas.
Wasn't happening in Dallas.
The largest requirement that happened in Dallas, you know, for a long time was 10.5 megawatts from a you know, telecom user. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know, there were some 2s, some 4s, some 6s, but that was it. And so that was happening. But the building that was going on here was very active. So, you know, you'd have to check my math, but like 2013 to 2017, a lot of supply was delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot was not leased to the degree that a lot of people wanted it to be. And that created a significant amount of like vacancy, data center vacancy for a long time. So most in the space were like, oh, Dallas is oversupplied. I mean, that was kind of the thought on Dallas from people in the industry for a while.
And it was about 2015 when Facebook started their Roanoke development. Is my math right? Is my number correct?
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Facebook announced a big campus just north of Fort Worth.
Yeah, which is public.
Ended up growing to 150 megawatts. And so I think a lot of people thought then, like, okay, this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
The hyperscalers are finally going to come to Dallas. And it didn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. Not as quickly as, you know, people would have wanted. The other thing I would say is that site that that they took in Fort Worth, it was one of my favorite sites for a number of reasons. But they grew a lot larger than most users would. You know, most users don't have that type of footprint. But there was a little of that. I think they took maybe 150, 200 acres. Of that, there was about a 50-acre parcel that was like perfectly hidden behind some trees, and you could build a building that no one would know. But anyway, I always loved that site because I just thought it was like for the data center user that traditionally wants to like hide in, you know, hidden in plain sight, that type of deal, or kind of tuck your building away geographically, it's set up perfectly. But
so talk a little bit about why you don't, you think Dallas wasn't seen as a hyperscale destination from really 15 to 21.
Okay, yeah, a couple of reasons. One would be, you know, there's not 50 hyperscale companies, you know. That's one of the things about our industry that people don't realize. It's like a lot of the growth over the last 5 years has been fueled by 5 to 10 companies. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That doesn't mean, you know, I think people go, oh my gosh, like the industry's going to fall apart, X, Y, and Z. I would say that's what has led us to where we, you know, where we
this
are
today. This is not the Dutch tulip phenomenon.
But I think that those companies have a portfolio. And so one of the things about data center development and, you know, and when a data center user takes a big footprint in a market is they start investing their own capital there to make sure that their applications can work correctly. They want the network to be right. And so when you move to another place, there's a cost associated with that. And a lot of times it's just easier to reinvest in areas you already are. So one I would say is, one of the reasons Dallas wasn't a great location for that is because these companies had already picked some other places for different reasons. So that's one. Two, you know, I think that there's some challenges, or historically have been some challenges with, you know, some of the tax incentives that were completed here, as well as, you know, this Eastern District conversation that that is out there about the Dallas market, which basically you know, the 32nd version is if you are within this Eastern District,
it's a federal court district.
Yes. Your company could be, you know, from a patent perspective, sued easier than other places. And so I think there's some companies that say, hey, because of that, we don't want to be in these specific locations. Not all companies.
Yeah, it's a risk. And however small or great it may be, you know, it was perceived as a risk.
That's right.
You know, there's the famously Apple had pulled two of its stores out of that Eastern District. So two That's stores right. in North Dallas that they ended up shutting down because they were within
retail
that Eastern
stores.
District. Retail stores, thank you. That's a good point of clarification.
Yep.
And so if you look at a map, you can see data center development kind of creep right up to that line.
Yeah, sure.
You know, intentionally so to avoid that Eastern District issue.
Yeah, and you know, the reality is, like, that doesn't impact every company. But if you're a technology company and, you know, you're worried about people, you know, those type of issues, it's something you have to consider. So I think that was another reason that we saw some of the large footprints sit for a while in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other thing I would say actually during this time is we saw the power cost go down in Dallas. So, you know, North Texas historically has been, like, most of the fuel mix is majority of the fuel mix is natural gas. And so as natural gas prices went down, power costs went down. And so Dallas went from, you know, the mid 2000s being like an 8 to 9 cent a kilowatt market to like 4 to 5 cents. And that's for people that companies that have large data center footprints, that's some significant
savings.
Very
significant part.
So
of the cost,
I think one of the reasons in the mid, in the aughts that you didn't see a lot of, from a TCO perspective, total cost of ownership, or of occupancy, Dallas didn't fare as well as it did when it moved into the next decade. And so that was another reason that we saw some additional growth.
Yeah, so Dallas, you know, for a long time had what we would consider all the building blocks.
That's right.
For growth. And but as you shared, you know, through kind of the mid-2010s, is that we're calling it, 20-teens?
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, 2010 to 2019 is the period I'm talking about. There was a lot of construction, but as you mentioned, a lot of it laid vacant. So if you look at, you know, late 2019. So Dallas was now a 390 megawatt market, 15% vacancy.
Yes.
So as you mentioned, it's kind of oversupplied. And then what happened in early 2020? Do you remember? It was a significant historical event.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when the pandemic occurred, you know, the data center industry shifted in significant ways. I mean, one was just trying to figure out how to build these facilities, deliver, service them, in the midst of not being, you know, not having access to the facilities. I mean, I remember when, you know, there were like the stay at home, you know, work from home stuff where, like, data center facilities, you need people in the facility to make them work. And this is what, to be honest, was powering our economy the economy is working on top of these data center facilities during that time. So it was that was a challenge. The other challenge was, you know, there was a lot more. Well, two things. One, the companies, those 5 or 10 companies that historically had grown a bunch, were already expanding, in my opinion, significantly before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic hits, and that just grows even more. So I think a lot of people go, oh, the data center industry grew a bunch because of the pandemic. It grew because of the pandemic. It was already growing a bunch ahead of that.
Yeah.
And so I think I always want to point that out as like, because a lot of people have looked at the space and been like, hey, when the work from home shifts, when all these, like, what's going to happen to the data center space? And, you know, it's 2023, and I'm like, it feels really tight today. You know, like, there's not a lot of vacancy. Like, it's not like people have shrunk their infrastructure footprint back. So, so how that impacted Dallas was, a couple ways. Number one, we actually saw some larger companies come this way. It's a big shift. That's the first thing. Two, a lot of the excess capacity that had set on the market got leased.
It's almost like wringing the water out 100%. Of the sponge. I mean, it 100%. Was, and we saw, you know, we went from 15% vacancy in end of 2019 to 4%
yes.
vacancy in the middle of 22.
Yeah, massive shift. In fact, I would tell you, if you want to know the market, Dallas was the market that changed the most during the pandemic, because you went from it being drastically oversupplied, like that's been the story of the market, to undersupplied.
Undersupplied.
And that is a very, like, to go from one to the other like that, that quickly, doesn't happen in our space. It is really hard to build data center infrastructure. It takes a long time, takes a lot of money. And you can't just fix those problems fast. And so, and when I say problems, issues, that was something that shifted quickly. You know, if you compare that to Northern Virginia, Northern Virginia has always been, you know, mostly undersupplied because of the massive requirements that are there. You know, Chicago's, to an extent, same type of deal. So I think that Dallas had a big shift during that time, and there was just a lot of pre-leasing done. I mean, I think
Once all the existing supply is taken up, it almost swung, and now people are laying claim to future supply.
That's right.
Definition of pre-leasing, but that's really what happened here.
Yeah.
And it happened in other markets.
Yep.
But if you look at Dallas, it kind of lagged those other markets as a percentage of growth that was undone on a pre-lease basis. Went from like 40% in 2020, I think, to 95% in 2022.
Jeez.
So that's that was really catching up to
what's
happening in other markets, Northern Virginia, Chicago, Northern California.
Yeah. Well, and I think you also saw the geography change in Dallas. You know, so historically, as I mentioned before, most of the development was like Richardson, Plano. There were some sites in Garland that had come up in kind of the like 2016, 17, 18 period, I think. You know, Stream has a site there, NTT has a site there. And then we saw like this like development in South Dallas start to begin.
That's really the biggest story.
Yeah, 100%.
Is what that specific shift.
Yeah, and this just illustrates a couple things. One, I think that is not in the Eastern District, so whether those developers or users, that was part of their decision making or not, it's a fact. You know, two would be that you can't, and this is true in all markets, but the idea that you can go somewhere and get 50 acres and bring 100 megawatts to it and it can be done in a 12, it doesn't exist. It does not exist. And I think for a long time people thought that, hey, there's a lot of sites in Dallas that we could, or a lot of sites in Chicago, or lots of, and because the data center users gotten more mature, the requirements have grown, and getting the power to these sites is more challenging. It's really hard. So South Dallas, to an extent, offered a solution to some of those challenges. You know, you had maybe bigger land parcels there that historically maybe had been looked at for industrial development, that now people are going, hey, you know, perhaps data centers can be a use case for this site. That area was not, I don't think, electrically engineered for massive data center requirements over the next 20 years. So I think there's been a lot of work to get that area continually ready to handle the demand that's there today and down the road. I think there's been work from a water infrastructure perspective to help with that. But at the end of the day, it's a new area with multiple data center operators there growing. And that's a that's a huge shift for Dallas. If you had told me, you know, young David in 2007, 8, 9 that South Dallas there'd be data center development, I wouldn't have believed you for a number of reasons. And it just shows how the market changes. And this is happening in other places too. I mean, you know, if you think about Phoenix, we've talked about before, but you know, you have Goodyear, you have Mesa. I mean, these are on the like outside edges, mm-hmm. East and west of the Phoenix market, and there's a lot of investment going on right now. And even I would tell you that those areas, they're starting to be like little growth areas outside of those because there's so much. You know, Chicago, I mean, Elk Grove Village has been the place that a lot of cloud providers and data center developers have spent a lot of money over the last 10 years to find a site there, to put it together. I mean, it's very challenging. And so it's not, my point is then it's moving further west in a place like Chicago. So yeah, we're starting to see these areas pop up, but that's the story in Dallas. It's the fact that it went to the south and you've got the hyperscale buy-in. I mean, it's very exciting for a market like this.
Yeah, if you look at Dallas's commission power, Q3 2021, so five-ish quarters ago, 431 megawatts. Today, 731.
Yeah,
so you see that growth goes...
Yeah.
So that's I think, just really, really interesting story about Dallas specifically. And you see the national and even global trends that you see in other markets. You see how they play out in Dallas. Yep. But there's just some... It's always interesting to talk about just the unique things about Dallas. So the Infomart or the telco presence or the this or that.
Yes.
Or the Eastern District issue that are unique. So it's just fun to take... To put that all into context where we are today.
The other thing I would say is, I know people are like, hey, how's the market growing if like supply chain is here and you can't get power? So just for all of you doubters out there, basically when, you know, requirements land with someone, you know, we count that into the absorption. So it might take a year, 2 years to build that facility and get it up and running. But we believe that growth is the best at that moment. It's the best time to show that that's where the market is. And so, yeah, I think the... Like, if I was kind of sum it up, I mean, I think the story for Dallas is massive change over the last 3 years. Vacancy rate goes from, you know, high to low. It's a lot harder to deliver supply, so there's not a lot of new supply coming to the market right now because it's harder. A number of the developers that are data center operators historically that have served enterprise users are now solely focused on the hyperscale users. Mm-hmm. That's their business model. So there's less 2 megawatt, 4 megawatt locations for those groups to land. So we're seeing the pricing, you know, increase here, and we're seeing the geography change. And I think it's a really interesting, you know, story. And every market, I mean, to your point, is it's like the DNA of the market is really interesting to look at. Why companies like that market over others is fascinating. The Carrier Hotel, I mean, we did a podcast on Carrier Hotels, mm-hmm. and I've always said this, like, and somebody's going to do it. I wish I could, but I don't have the time right now. It's like someone should write a book or a one pager on each Carrier Hotel throughout the U.S. And
they all have a unique, like 100%. The Western Union Building in New York.
Yes.
The Cermak Building you mentioned in Chicago.
I mean,
they all have a very fun backstory.
Yeah, and it's like they weren't designed to do that, but the innovation and
it finds a way.
That's right.
And the way data center industry finds a way.
And the way that these facilities have changed to meet the need, it's ridiculous. And that's why they can charge higher than some other places is because that ecosystem, you can't rebuild that. I mean, there's some talk of, hey, we should build another Carrier Hotel in this market, but you better be in it for the long run because it takes so much time, energy, and effort.
Yeah, you think about the investment just to make a data center, and then you layer on top of that.
Yeah,
trying to get that connectivity
ecosystem.
There.
Yeah, it's a challenge. So anyway, I think, you know, Dallas is a really interesting data center market. The next several years, you know, I've said before, I think I even said this on a podcast, that the Dallas data center market would double in the next year or two. And so actually when you're saying those numbers,
it's pretty close.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Man, pretty close, David. I don't brag or nothing, but I was right.
But and so I think, you know, it'll be really interesting to see if in the next 3 years, you know, because of a number of large requirements or whatever, does the market go from 700 and whatever it was to 1,000, 1,500.
Well, and if you count, that's really just the colo space. If you count hyperscale self-built, I think you could certainly see that. I believe our young analysts have put together forecasts that may even show that.
They
stand by for that. Yes. Forecast coming soon.
Absolutely.
Well, this is fun, David. I think you offer a unique perspective, obviously, because you're based in Dallas, but we really could do this for other markets. They all have a special story to tell.
Yes.
So this was fun. Anything else for you? Log off. Is that still a thing? Does anybody log off?
Mike, this is
finish the podcast.
Mike, this is 2023. You should always be online. You should always be connected.
Yeah, there is no logging off anymore. We're just going to leave the cameras up for the next 72 hours. live stream the Data Center Hog Market. All right, Dave. Well, that was fun. Always good to get your perspective of someone who's been in this, you know, specific geography for the last, 20 years. Hear everything from a firsthand perspective. So I think we'll maybe plan on doing some more of these. If you like this, if this has been enjoyable to you, put comments below. We'd love to cover other markets. Otherwise, more information at datacenterhawk.com. We'll see you next time.